Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Relatable Finance. I'm Joseph Carl, and I'm joined by my colleague, Portfolio Manager Shane Phillips. We're both members of the investment team at Provenance Wealth Advisors, a financial planning and investment firm located in sunny South Florida. So today, we're going to discuss what to do when you have a couple of extra dollars and you don't have anything to use it on except invest or put it towards debt.
And Joe, that's a really good thing because this is a question we get all the time. We always get, should I put more towards my mortgage or do I put more in my 401k? Do I pay down my car? Do I save? And it's very, very realistic. I think a lot of us have debt and we sometimes have extra money. So great topic to be discussing today.
Yeah, and before we get started, we just want to make sure that we clarify that we would always recommend paying the minimum payment or the specified payment. Never under any circumstance would we recommend foregoing a payment for investment purposes. At the end of the day, investment markets are never going to be black and white. Even if you invested in the lows of March of 2009 and had extremely good investment returns, the potential negative ramifications from missing a payment and the implications for your credit rating are going to be long lasting. So at the end of the day, having good credit means a lot for your life.
Yep. So like you said, this is discretionary money. You made those minimum payments. You're not getting penalized. You're not hurting your credit. This is money that you have, let's just say, from a bonus. What do you do with that money? So you may immediately think, you know, I got a nice bonus. We should go to Greece. And maybe that is the best decision. That's not stuff we always talk about. We're more from the financial aspect. But we're going to look at some of those options that you have that can help you monetarily.
Yeah, and we all can have preferences on this. Some can take a more aggressive or a more conservative approach. So keeping that in mind, and I mean, if you had two people who are extremely well educated on this topic, they could reach slightly different conclusions because of this preference. So keep that in mind. But at the end of the day, we're trying to remove preferences from this, and we're trying to make it a completely logical process and view it in a way that we can frame it so we can make better decisions. So if that's the case, then we really have two things to consider. One, the rate that you're paying on your debt. And secondly, taxes and other benefits. So starting off, historically, the stock market has returned around 10%. Agreed, Shane?
Yep. So historically, it's definitely been around 10%. People may think differently going forward, but when you look over a pretty long time span, 10% in a fairly bumpy ride, which may not be for everyone once again, but yeah, 10% historic has been a pretty good number.
Yeah, so for purposes of this exercise, let's deduct it for the reason that you've mentioned. You know, we've had a really long bull market. This economic expansion is rather long. While you know, we think that there are reasons to be optimistic, it may make sense to pull that down a little bit given the rally that we've had. And let's also be conservative because the investment side of the equation is variable. It's going to go up and it's going to go down. There's going to be really good times and there's going to be not so good times. So when trying to make this decision and frame it in the best way, let's scale it back. And so instead of 10, let's say 6%.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, is these assumptions we make, because we don't know what the market's going to do. So if we decide to invest that extra money and the market falls 10% that year, we're going to make ourselves seem like it was the worst decision ever. But it's going to be a whole bunch of years put together, and over that longer term, if our assumption is that the market is going to do better, that will probably be the better financial decision. The other thing about this is if we do decide, you know, we're not going to pay down that debt, we're going to invest this money, but then a year later you look and that money's still in your savings account, that isn't helping you at all. It's almost a lose-lose situation because you're not making anything on it, you didn't pay down that debt, and you don't have the ability to beat whatever that rate is on your debt.
Yeah, and so just to clarify, it's not that we would never recommend having some money in savings. You definitely want to have money in savings, that even if it's not earning that much, because you may need it for emergency needs, whatever the case may be. But if you're doing nothing but building and building money in your savings account, Shane's point is that at some point there becomes an opportunity cost, the lost return that you could have had, whether that be through earning it on your investments or paying down your debt. So going back to the 6%, let's say that that's our number. Again, you could move it up or down depending upon your personal preference. But let's say that you have the 6% is the number that we're going to start with. And anything with a any debt that you have with a yield above 6%, any extra money automatically goes down to pay that debt.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you think of that 6%, that's sort of your hurdle rate. So anything above that, it's you're leaning towards definitely paying it off. There's going to be an area, and it's going to change by person. Maybe let's just say 4 to 6%, where it's sort of that gray area, where there's maybe no clear decision. And then there's going to be debt that has very low rates that you're going to want to keep because it's relatively cheap money. You think you can do it. And this is really a question that we talk to clients about all the time. Sometimes, like I said, it's very clear. It's black and white. Pay it off, don't pay it off. Oftentimes it kind of falls in the middle in that gray area where it's kind of up to the client. Their personal preference a lot of times come through. If they don't like debt, let's just pay it off. But it's definitely something good to keep in mind, is to kind of have that hurdle rate in mind.
Yeah, we're just trying to build a framework to help you make this decision. So let's say it's 6%. Any debt that you have with a yield rate above 6%, pay down the debt. Anything below 6%, invest the money. So is there anything else to consider in this equation? And the answer is yes. First of all, while there has been recent some changes with the tax law, there is a deduction for mortgage interest. There's also a tax deduction for student loan interest. So those factors need to be taken into consideration. There is no deductions for any automobile debt or credit card debt. So really no benefit there. So to kind of adjust that a little bit, for credit card debt and automobile debt, keep it at 6%. But for the mortgage debt and student loan debt, where you make it a tax deduction, maybe you bring that down to 5.5 or 5.
Yeah, and whatever you bring that down to is going to depend on your personal situation. But I think making sure to keep in mind that it is less than that rate that you see on your statement. It is less than the 6% that it's stated. Definitely brings into play the possibility that maybe it's not as great a decision to pay it off. But once again, this does get back to personal preference, and I always think about mortgages, because early on in your mortgage, you're paying a lot of your total payment is all going towards interest. And when I've sat down and looked at this with clients before, they see that interest as wasted money. So they have that feeling that they should pay off more of their mortgage payment. But in reality, if, let's say, they do have a very low mortgage rate, which a lot of people do have locked in over the last handful of years, and they're able to make more than that in a investment portfolio, even if you do see that interest going out, logically thinking, it presents a situation where you can come off better. But it is tough to see that money kind of going straight to the bank, not paying down your principal, but it may be more logical to invest in a portfolio.
So is there anything else to consider? And the answer, again, is yes. Oftentimes, if you're contributing to your 401k, your company will match. And the customary match is around 50 cents on the dollar for the first 6%. That sounds like a doozy, but just to give you a little simplified example, you make $50,000 and you contribute 6% of that, which would be $3,000, you're automatically going to get $1,500.
Yeah, so that's something that a lot of people at work come to us with questions on, I know. But what it basically is it's free money. So if you do have a company match, no matter what the dollar amount is, if you can contribute the amount so you can get the most you can, you're basically getting immediate 100% return on it. So I know it's not always possible to put that much to get the full match, but any extra dollar that you can to increase that match is going to be one of the better financial decisions you make.
Yeah, and you can also, if you're using a traditional 401k as opposed to a Roth 401k, for example, you can also get a deduction on your current income for the contribution to the 401k. That's going to save you on your taxes in the current year. It's also going to allow you to put more and more dollars to work in that vehicle that's going to allow you to grow tax deferred. The money is going to be taxable when you pull that money out, but there's also the chance, you know, if the tax rate today is the same as when you pull it out, it's essentially a break even, but there is a chance that your tax rate in retirement is slightly lower than it is today since you're not working. So there is the potential advantage that you save on the tax rate by doing so. So just to recap here, we went over, try to frame out a way for you to make decisions when it comes to paying off debt or investing if you have a couple extra dollars. First and foremost, we want to reiterate that you always want to make the minimum of payment. You never want to try and invest to earn more than making a payment. That you really want to have good credit throughout your entire life. That's really important. We tried to build out a framework to consider that, a hurdle rate. You probably want to be conservative on the rate that you assume, simply because that's a variable rate, and we have had a long expansion. There's also tax benefits to consider. Mortgage and student loan debt has some tax deductions, so the hurdle rate may be a little bit lower in those situations. And also, by utilizing your 401k plan, you can reduce your current income taxes and put more dollars to work in a tax-deferred vehicle. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. That's all for today. Thank you.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please reach out to podcast@provwealth.com and check out our Twitter handle @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing involves risk, and you may incur profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.